This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, Bridge senior writer Ron French explains why college costs are rising faster at some universities for low-income students. But first, a night out in the Kalamazoo area could mean the theater, a movie, perhaps a bite to eat, and you can certainly find a craft beer to wash down dinner if you want to. Whatever Kalamazoo may be lacking, it isn't breweries. Tiffany Fitzgerald, the staff writer for Encore magazine, her story in the January edition of Encore is called Beer, Beer Everywhere. Tiffany Fitzgerald, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, why did you want to take a look at the idea of craft beer in Kalamazoo? What did you find interesting about this?
I think I found the dialogue interesting that people were having about whether or not we could possibly sustain any more breweries. And my editor, Marie Lee, is the eternal cynicist, and she was sure that this just couldn't be. It was going to burst pretty soon. And I dove into it, and at a national level, there certainly is a worry about that. But then kind of talking to people in Kalamazoo, they're very optimistic about how much room there is. So that started really intriguing me, and I just kept interviewing more and more people.
So I think most people know that we have seen craft breweries just popping up in Kalamazoo. It seems like almost every week you hear of another one coming or find out that somebody else has a grand opening. Is that similar to what we find nationwide? Is it similar to what we find in cities the size of Kalamazoo?
Yeah, absolutely. There are other cities that are the size of Kalamazoo that have established this many breweries a long time ago in the late 90s or the early 2000s. But the amount of breweries we had last year were around 3,000, but the amount of permits for breweries was around 4,000. So nationwide, we're definitely braced for this type of growth that we've seen in Kalamazoo.
There are also different types of breweries, and you go into a fair amount of detail in the article explaining how this works, but try to give our listeners here maybe a thumbnail sketch. What are the different types of breweries that are out there? What sort of different things do they do?
Well, there's, according to the American Brewers Association, there's four different types of segments in the craft brewing market. There's a microbrewery that produces less than 15,000 barrels per year, but also has 70% of its sales in traditional beer sales, so at a retail site or off-site of the brewery. Then there's a brew pub that sells 25% or more of its beer on-site and also might offer food or restaurant services. We see a lot of those in Kalamazoo. And there's contract brewing companies that are contracted to brew beer for other restaurants or even another brewery, and that's their only business, is going business to business like that. And then there's regional craft breweries like Bell's or Arcadia that are larger than a microbrewery with how many barrels they output, but they still are localized in craft beer.
So you talked to quite a few of the brewers in this area. Did you get a sense that there's a different appeal based on the type of brewery that you've opened in terms of the clientele you're likely to bring in?
Yeah, I did get a sense of that. But I also, from talking to the brewers, they talked about new segments opening up in all of their markets. For instance, women, especially in Old Peninsula or Arcadia, who have been around a long time. Both of those owners talked about seeing a lot more women drinkers, also seeing drinkers who might traditionally have drank domestics like Miller or Coors, so baby boomers, coming into craft beer as well. But there are differences in the type of brewer, like a One Well brewery and a Rupert's brewery having kind of a younger, like kind of hipstery feel, and then Arcadia, which is really fresh and modern, and Bell's that has kind of this laid-back music vibe. So there's definitely a lot to offer.
So you mentioned that part of the reason you wanted to look into this was the question of, are we hitting some sort of saturation point in Kalamazoo? And you say that from everything you can tell, we're still a ways off from that. What are the indicators that say that we still have more room for growth in the brewery industry?
I think one of the biggest indicators that I didn't think about coming into the story, that Hannah McKinney, one of the sources in the story, and she's an economist professor at Kalamazoo College, she pointed out that a lot of these breweries don't fall into a microbrewery segment. They fall into the brew pub segment, which is a restaurant segment. And it's very popular to hear in the restaurant industry that there's always room for more. But it's always with the caveat, there's always room for good restaurants. And that's kind of what I heard from everybody about breweries and brew pubs as well. If you're producing great beer and if you're producing great food, then there's enough room in the market for you.
Early in your story, you pulled a quote that was actually in Draft Magazine from the CEO of Founders Brewing, Mike Stevens, said, "I wouldn't want to be a startup brewery right now. The days when you could open a brewery and really try to learn your path are over. You need a good plan from the get-go." And as you said, some people read that and interpreted that as we were hitting some sort of peak in terms of craft brewing, whether or not that was the intention or not. Is that the way some people have read it? And is that the way that, I guess, brewers responded to it?
Yeah, definitely. And all of the outlets that I've read that had quoted that quote from Draft Magazine, which Bon Appetit was one of, and MLive as well, the basic overall tone is this type of growth, this type of fast growth, definitely can't last forever. And Mike Stevens also went on to say in the same article that he predicted a bubble burst in the next 5 years. That was 2013. But he also says that if it's great beer, it'll have a place. So I don't think that that's unrealistic to think that just like restaurants or any other industry, anything bad's going to get pushed out. And it is a more competitive market now than it was when Mike Stevens started. I think he has a point that if you are starting right now, you really do have to have a pretty solid plan in place.
And that's another way that quote could certainly be read, is that the market is more competitive now, and that when you start, you better be able to hit the ground running because you have so many other breweries, so many other options that people have. Is that perhaps more of what he was getting at?
I think so. I think he's talking to two different things. One is definitely that you have to come into this with a good plan and good beer. And another is that the kind of rocket ship pace at which we're growing nationally as a craft beer industry just might not be sustainable for much longer. And that's a pretty popular viewpoint nationally.
One of the things you mentioned in this story is that the one-year mark is very important, really for any restaurant to kind of know if they're really going to make it or not. That being the case, are there some brew pubs out there that we still don't know yet if they're going to hit that one-year mark and be able to sustain beyond that?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we're just watching the brew pubs. We just saw the brew pubs in 2013 hit their 2014 one-year mark. There were brew pubs that opened in 2014, even at the very end of it, like One Well in November, I think. So we're not going to know how successful those breweries and brew pubs are for a little while.
Some people, I'm sure, think, well, there's all these breweries, there's only so many people to drink beer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's an interesting quote you have from Chris O'Neill, who along with TJ Waldowski opened up One Well Brewing over on Portage Street in November. And he made the comment that he doesn't think anyone is really stepping on anyone's toes. That in other words, there's sort of this mass, I guess you could say, bringing in synergy, I guess, amongst all the brewers. Is that how more of them see it?
That's how a lot of them see it, yeah. And I feel like that structure, we see that in Grand Rapids as well. You have your anchor brewery. So we have Bell's, we have Arcadia now too, and Old Peninsula. And then you see these little breweries pop up all over the place. But where One Well is down on Portage Road, there's really no breweries down there. And so what he's talking about is this sort of spreading out and this room to grow in this way that they're all doing something different within their brewery, but they're also in a different location. And we heard that from the sources at Southwest Michigan First as well.
And do the people at Southwest Michigan First think that perhaps this is something that makes Kalamazoo a place to visit?
Oh, yeah, they're very excited about it. And they had talked about also talking with Discover Kalamazoo. This type of people love to go to new breweries. This culture around breweries that they like to hop. Even in one night, people like to go to more than one brewery sometimes. But try one out every week, figure out what type of personality a brewery has. Maybe you have a favorite, but the culture is definitely going from one to another. And because we're so close to Grand Rapids, and because we're now offering all of these different breweries, we've become a pretty hot tourist spot. We already were a tourist spot for Bell's, but now instead of making a night of it at Bell's, you can stay a weekend and really get to enjoy a lot of different beers.
And there are quite a few of these breweries downtown. Do they enjoy perhaps an advantage in that sense that people can go to several of these places and they don't have to get in their car and worry about getting behind the wheel after having enjoyed a few beers for the evening?
Yeah, I think that's a huge appeal. And that'll be that is one area we do have room for growth because we're such an expansive county. Then we have a brewery coming up at Texas Corners. Well, we can definitely see that growth more there because people don't want to drive from Texas Corners to downtown to Portage for exactly that reason. They really want to stay. And there are hosted brewery tours in downtown Kalamazoo, and they definitely, local businesses, restaurants, and hotels profit off of that as well.
And of course, there is, as you just noted there is a fair amount of growth outside of downtown Kalamazoo, Portage, Texas Corners. So the idea of breweries seems to have a foothold throughout Kalamazoo County in some ways.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that there's a lot of excitement about what's happening downtown. And even though not everybody wants to jump into the downtown scene, there's going to be a lot of room for growth in the outlying parts of Kalamazoo County as well.
Your story begins by noting that it was a snowy night in November, and you apparently headed out to try a couple places yourself. And the observation you made is that, yes, it was snowing. It was perhaps a night when many people might, you think, prefer to be home. And yet you found a lot of activity out there on the streets of Kalamazoo and in these various brew pubs. Does that perhaps tell us that, yes, the economists and others are right, more growth is available?
It seems to indicate that on as much a level as it can. It was definitely interesting because the first snow of the year, most people don't go out on that Thursday night. But yeah, it's really interesting to me. And when I go by on the weekends, which I did several times during the research for this story, places were just packed. Like Old Peninsula would be wall to wall. And I just think that there is definitely a culture here in Kalamazoo and in Michigan that is a beer culture. And so this is a really good area to have a lot of breweries then.
Did the people you talked to give you a sense that there is something particular about Kalamazoo that allows this sort of growth that maybe it wouldn't work in another city in Michigan or another city in the Midwest?
Yes, I think that one thing that a lot of people pointed to was Bell's. Bell's is a really big reason there can be all these little breweries. And the owners of One Well pointed that out as well, that you need that kind of cornerstone brewery, that big name brewery. And another reason is we're a college town. We have Kalamazoo College and WMU. And we also have a very big art scene. We have a big music scene, writing scene, theater scene. Those are really the type of people who like to go out and enjoy themselves at night. They're not sort of homebodies. They like to be out in the town and experience different types of cultures.
What do people say about the economic impact of breweries in Kalamazoo?
It's kind of hard to tell what the economic impact of breweries in Kalamazoo is going to be yet, because so many of them started in 2013 and 14 that it's going to take a little bit more time to see the long-term effect of it. But if it's anything like the effect it's had on Michigan or the effect it's had on the nation, it's going to have a very positive effect on wages, job growth, and keeping money in a local market, which is always really important for economists and local economy.
Tiffany Fitzgerald, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
All right.
Tiffany Fitzgerald is staff writer for Encore Magazine. She's also editor of its sister publication, FYI. Her story, Beer, Beer Everywhere, can be found at EncoreKalamazoo.com and through a link at WMUK.org.